Welcome to Pen and Page Gals, the podcast where we're flipping through our favorite and recent reads. Your hosts are me, I'm Jensine.
And I'm Sophia. And in a digital age when everything is fast-paced and fighting for our attention, we hope to inspire you to slow the scroll and pause for some pages instead.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our pandemic episode of Pen and Page Gals. I'm Jensine.
And I'm Sophia.
And we're so happy to be with you today.
We are. This is
we're
actually,
not together.
Yeah, our first time recording remotely in the spirit of social distancing, which,
I'm sure you know, all are.
Yeah. If you don't know what that is, I don't know where you're living or where you're listening from, but I want to be where you are.
Exactly.
If you don't know what social distancing is by now.
The pandemic hasn't hit you yet, which is good or bad, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's coming to you. Who knows?
Who knows? So we thought it would be fun for this special pandemic episode to talk about what we're excited to read since basically everything has shut down where we are in the Bay Area, and also maybe inspire you to pick up a few new reads for yourself also.
I was just telling my husband this morning, it's the first time in my adult life and will probably be the last time until I retire or whatever, that literally the only thing I have is time. Like all the other times of my life, like days of my life, time is the one commodity that I'm like, I don't have enough time. I'm so busy. It's for the first time that it's like opposite. Time is all I have. We have nowhere to go. We're just
stuck at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. So, and you know what you can do with a lot of time?
Read a lot. A lot of books. So we're here to help
you. The one thing we always bemoan is our huge stack of two reads.
Yeah.
And our lack of time.
Mm-hmm. Lack of time. The list just keeps growing and growing.
Yeah. So, okay, Sophia, what's on your TBR list?
Okay. So I keep a running list on that app or website Goodreads, which I think you do too, Jensine.
Yes.
And I've been adding to that list since, I don't know, 2013 maybe. So this is like 7 years worth of just books that I just – anytime I hear an interesting title, it just gets added on there. So I did do a quick perusal of my – want to read or to be read list and just kind of came up with the top titles that stuck out to me that I might go to the library if it's still open by the time we're finishing recording and try to check out, or maybe I'll just buy it on Kindle. I don't know. But the first one is Sorcery of Thrones?
Thorns.
Okay. I thought it was Sorcery of Thorns, but in my little like notes here, I wrote Sorcery of Thrones, and I was like, that doesn't sound right. So Sorcery of Thorns.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Or is it the other way around?
It's Sorcery of Thorns.
Yes, Sorcery of Thorns by Margaret Rogers.
Which I highly, highly recommend.
Yes. I actually have this from the library in my stack.
Good.
So I've heard not just from you, Jensine, but from a few other people, a few other listeners of our podcast, that they really liked this title.
Ooh,
so
we have listeners.
We do, at least one.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah. So that's something on my list. I also have been really wanting to read You've Been Volunteered by Lori Gelman. It's a sequel to this book called Class Mom that she wrote a couple years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just like about that dynamic of being a mom and like a parent volunteer and super like overeager PTA parents and just the dynamic of that. It kind of reminds me a little bit of that Bad Moms movie. This is just a sequel. And Lori Gelman, she's the wife of I don't know his first name, but they always call him Gelman on Live with Kelly and Ryan, that morning show.
Oh,
he's the producer.
Yeah.
So if you ever watch that show, they're always referencing him like Gelman.
Oh,
Gelman.
Cute.
So it's his wife that wrote these books. So that's something else that's on my list. I also have, I bought it a couple weeks ago, just like from a book sale that was going on, and then I forgot about it. But I have Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng, and I've heard really good things about that book. So that's on
yes, and it's
read.
A show now.
Yes, that's why I picked it, because I think I saw a trailer somewhere for that coming out. So I already have that book. I just need to read that. So that's on my list. And then one of my favorite authors that I've gushed about on previous episodes of our podcast, Kristen Higgins, she came out with a book at the end of last year called Life and Other Inconveniences that I haven't read yet. So that is on my immediate to be read list that I probably will get to read in the next 2 to 3 weeks because everything's shut down. What about you?
Yes, everything is shut down. Yeah. So, okay, on my list, thankfully my library is still open for now. They've canceled like all the events and stuff, but it's still open. I'm going to be like extra diligent about sanitizing the books though that I take home.
Right.
Okay, but anyways, first is a newer book. It just came out maybe a month or two ago. It's called Scavenge the Stars. By Tara Sim, and it's a retelling of The Count of Monte Cristo, but with a female heroine. So it's kind of like a gender swap, but a retelling.
I think I might have told
you about it.
Yeah, it sounds very, very familiar.
But I think it's a series. So
Like a not finished series.
Yeah.
Can't do that, guys. Can't do that. I'm going to have to wait.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait, I think. But I'll let you know if it's worth getting excited about. So that's on my list. It's not, I haven't seen it at my local library. I might end up buying it also. Yeah. The next one is, it's actually a finished trilogy. I don't know if you've heard of it. The Traitor's Kingdom, which I believe is, I don't know if that's the third book or the second book. The Traitor's Kingdom is the third book. The trilogy is by Aaron Beatty. And I had read the first book like several years ago. And I remember liking it and then just never picked up the second or the third book. The second book is called The Traitor's Ruin. But the second and third book got really high reviews on Goodreads. Mm. So it's always something I've been meaning to circle back to.
Yeah.
And finish the series. So that's on my list. And then if this shutdown goes on for, you know, much longer, who knows? I might pick up the Harry Potter books.
I still cannot believe.
I know. No time like the present, right? Or there wouldn't be a better time to get into them than now.
I think you need to shift your priority of like what books are going to be next and just move the Harry Potter series up.
Maybe.
Yeah, because you can definitely get through all seven in the next couple weeks when you're home.
I know, probably, huh? Do you have any other recommendations for our listeners that you've read in the past?
Yes. So the titles that I first mentioned are books that I have not read yet. So they're just books that I want to read. I can't vouch for them or tell you how good they are. But these next books that I'm going to share are books that I have read and loved and would probably reread if I, you know, didn't have a stack of new books to read, but definitely can recommend and almost guarantee that you're going to love them. So the first one is What Alice Forgot by Leanne Moriarty, who's the author of Big Little Lies. And I've talked about a few of her other books before. Mm-hmm. But What Alice Forgot is, I think, one of my favorite books that she's ever written. It's so good. It was definitely the first one by her that I ever read. And that's what sort of got me down the spiral of all the other titles she had in her catalog. So I can very highly vouch for that title. And in the spirit of Jenny Han, who we talked about last month, and her To All the Boys I Loved Before, she also has another series called The Summer I Turned Pretty. I don't know if that's the name of the series, but the first title of the book is called the first book of that series is called The Summer I Turned Pretty, and it's a trilogy, and it's by Jenny Han. And that
I
one
love
is
that trilogy.
Really good. It's
actually one of my rereads. I like maybe reread it once a year.
So good. It's so good. So that is and that's three books. So if you decide to read that, that's three titles to keep you busy. Next is a duology called The Wrath and the Dawn by Renee. I'm totally going to butcher the pronunciation of her last name, but Adia. A-H-D-I-E.
I always, Adia. In my head, I said Adia.
I don't know. We'll have it in the show notes. But The Wrath and the Dawn, it's a duology. So just, you know, a one and a sequel. Is it a retelling of Arabian Nights?
I think it's supposed to have like hints.
Yeah, like a loose retelling.
Not an exact. Yeah.
I really liked that one. So that's another good one. This next one, The Selection series by Kira Cass. You've read that, Jinseen, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like The Bachelor meets Hunger Games. It's really good. It's really good. If you like,
it has YA, a huge following also. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Dystopian. Like if that's your thing, you have to read The Selection series. I have more. The Outlander series by Diana Gabaldon. That's more of like a grown-up series. So if you're a teenager.
It's very adult.
Don't recommend. It's for like grown women, grown people. And if sex involves.
But there's a show also.
Yeah, there's a show. But the books are, the books are so good. And those books are fat books. They're so good. Yes. So you could
be. It'll take you a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's the Anna and a French Kiss series by Stephanie Perkins. That one is really good. I really like that. And that one
is super cute.
It's super cute. Is it like, I think it's three books in the series, but each book focuses on like a different set of characters. And then like in the first book, it's one set of characters. And then the second book, it's a different set, but you kind of hear about the characters from the first book and sort of get a little glimpse into what happened.
They're connected somehow they're a little bit connected.
Yeah. So that's really fun. And then The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer. This is a series, I think, of four or five books. And each book is a fairy tale that is spun like retold. So like the first one is called Cinder and it's Cinderella, and then one of them is Scarlet and it's Little Red Riding Hood, and then another one is Winter and it's Snow White. So it's one whole story told throughout four or five different books, but each book focuses on a different character, and it's a fairy tale character, a fairy tale princess that's been given a modern spin. That one was really fun to read.
It's and then, also like sci-fi-ish. Like sci-fi-ish. There's like a sci-fi bent to it. Yeah,
it's really good. I liked that one a lot. I think there are some people that I had talked about that book with that were like, it wasn't for me. But I personally
really liked it.
If you like fairy tales, you like retellings, you're going to like that one. And then my last recommendation is more just like a general author recommendation. I would recommend anything by Emily Giffen, but only her older titles. So anything 2010 and earlier. Like spot on, really, really good. It's really cute, like chick lit, easy to read type stuff. Anything after 2010, I feel like personally, I just lost interest because it started to get really deep and she started writing more heavy material. And it was just like, this is not what I want anymore.
It's not like light and fun anymore.
It's not light and fun anymore, but her like first books are really, really cute. The Something Borrowed series by her is really cute. That's my long list of books to recommend.
You covered a lot that of authors that I like also.
Yeah. Do you have any rereads that you would recommend?
I feel like any of the books that we've talked about on our podcast before, I would highly recommend reading.
Yeah.
So in light of, you know, the coronavirus and all these things going on, I recently listened to another podcast with Malcolm Gladwell. Do you know who he is? He's like a super smart author guy. He has his own podcast, but he's also written a lot of really interesting books. They're typically like sociology or psychology based. So they're nonfiction books and he does a lot of research, but he's just really smart. And I've really enjoyed listening to him recently. Oh. So if you're, I know this is like a total left turn from our normal, like what we recommend, but he's just like been on my mind recently because of everything that's been going on and just like, you know, all the things in society that kind of show us, you know, how people work and stuff that this virus and pandemic has kind of brought out in us has been really interesting to me.
Yeah.
So if you kind of want to maybe take a break or just like learn something, I'd recommend Malcolm Gladwell's books or like he has his own podcast. But one thing he's doing that I'm kind of interested in checking out is audiobooks, but different from like the traditional sense of audiobooks where the author or someone just reads you the book. Mm-hmm. I think the new thing that authors like him are trying to do is make audiobooks interesting in that, you know, there are interviews or like there are other people
right.
part of the audiobook with right. you. So you're not just like reading a transcript,
right.
you know, from yeah. the book, but
it's almost
you're
like
actually interacting. It is almost like a yeah. podcast. And they add like music if that's like part of it or just yeah. it's kind of becoming like a whole multimedia form thing. Now instead yeah. of just like an audiobook. So
that sounds really cool.
That's something that's been on my mind. Other than that, I would just say listen to our other podcasts and pick yeah. up any of the books we've yeah. mentioned because there are a lot of my favorites on there already.
Agree. I when I was preparing for this episode, I was like, I don't want to mention anything that I've already mentioned.
But you've already mentioned yeah. it like five times.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So go back and listen if you have time on your hands, which you should for the next couple weeks. What about
okay,
Jesse?
So
if
yes,
you could
go
just
ahead.
bring and read one book, what
oh,
would be your
that's
title?
A good question. Well, when we were talking about this before, you said the Bible, JK, but I was gonna say like besides the Bible,
yeah,
you know, my like sophisticated answer would be Wuthering Heights because yeah. I really do have a soft spot
yeah.
for Wuthering Heights, and I feel like it's obviously a classic, so it's lasted through time already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I only had one book for the rest of, you know,
right.
time, I would choose one that has lasted.
Yeah.
And I love Heathcliff, and there are really good quotes in there. But if I'm being honest, I might say Twilight.
Twilight. I don't
because,
blame you.
Honestly, sometimes when I'm bored or down, I just either reread Twilight, like I'll just kind of skip to my favorite parts and just like yeah. read it yeah. or even sometimes I'll just like put the movie on, the first one,
because
that's the one.
It's a classic. Yeah,
yeah,
it's good.
No, it's not great, the acting sucks, blah blah blah,
no,
but it has a soft spot in my yeah. heart and yeah. I'll put it on because it kind of like calms me down.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
I, no shame, girl, no shame. I love Twilight. I love me some Twilight, okay? And I wasn't even, like, in college when it came out. Like, I was definitely I working and, like, an adult. And I was still
reading
it. I was
late to the game, so I was too. Yeah, I didn't, I got into it, like, way after it had
Whoa.
Come out. Yeah, the books, at least, yeah.
Oh, well, no shame, no shame. For me, I don't know, I just... Just one book, like, I don't know. I feel like I'd get bored of it really quickly.
Yeah.
So I picked Pride and Prejudice just because it is a book that I've reread a lot, you know, since high school or whenever I first read it. And like you said, it's a classic for a reason. I feel like it's a story that withstands the test of time. So if I could only read one for the rest of my life, maybe that one. But that it's just that's not like a really fun question to ask, like that's like saying,
know,
like if you could just
but it's
kind of
like everyone's
for
like,
the rest of your life,
it's the end of the world.
It's
so.
Not yeah it's- I mean, life is gonna look different for a little bit, maybe for a long bit, I don't know, but it's
yeah.
not the end of the world, guys. Yeah,
it's not,
it's
but
not.
Sometimes it's fun to pretend it is.
Yeah,
and we can see how people react.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before this whole pandemic has hit us, what have you been reading recently?
So I didn't read as much, but I read a couple Christina Lauren titles. The first was Twice in a Blue Moon by Christina Lauren.
What did you
Lauren
think
only.
Of that one?
So in our last episode, I talked about my favorite Half Night Stand by them and mm-hmm. Josh and Hazel's Guide to Not Dating and The Unhoneymooners. And I loved those books. They're so
They're funny.
I was yeah. guffawing out loud. It was just it was one of those books where you're reading and all of a sudden you go, wah! And no one's around you. So you're sort of, never mind. I didn't really laugh like that with Twice in the
No,
Moon.
It wasn't no. a funny one. Yeah.
It wasn't a funny one. And also, I wasn't really that drawn into the story of Sam and Tate personally. I mean, it was a quick and easy read.
Yeah.
I don't regret reading it, but I was just sort of, I was a little bit let down by it. It wasn't my favorite one. If you've never read a Christina Loren book, I would not start with that one because, you know, it's not a good introduction to them, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely read maybe their funnier stuff first.
Yeah, like and then get to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other Christina Loren book that I read was Love and Other Words, which I actually really loved, but it also was not one of their funny books. I mean, there were moments of humor, but it was, I think, a little bit heavier, sort of like Twice in a Blue Moon. But I thought that Love and Other Words was really well written. I really liked it. Whereas with Twice in the Blue Moon.
Older ones or newer ones?
I have it right here. Let me see. It says that it was published in 2018. So relatively new.
Newish.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to look into that one.
It's not like your, you know, Josh and Hazel's Guide to Dating, not dating or whatever. Like, it's not going to be like that, but it's like heartwarming. You'll feel good. So I really liked that one. And then obviously I read Throne of Glass, which we'll get to later. and I'm in the middle right now of reading City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert, who, if you don't know her, she's the one that wrote Eat, Pray, Love. That was super popular a long time ago. Yeah. I never read Eat, Pray, Love. So I
didn't connect those dots.
I never read that either. Yeah.
But I had, I did borrow City of Girls from the library like last summer or like whenever it came out.
Yeah.
I read the first couple chapters and I just didn't finish it for some reason.
It's hard.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It's just different.
But I know.
People love it. They like love all the characters.
So I'm not a quitter. This is going to be our motto. So when I start a book, I finish it, even if I'm like, this is feeling a little dry, which definitely when I first started this book, I was feeling a little bit regretful. Like, why did I choose this? I would much rather read Sorcery of Thorns, which I also have, or any other book. But I will say I'm about a third of the way into it and it's picking up. And I do know that there's like a big something that happens. I don't know what it is, but there's like a big plot point that is coming. And so I haven't reached that yet. And I'm thinking that after I reach it, I'll understand why everyone loves this book so much. Because so many people have recommended it to me and gushed about it that I feel like there's got to be a reason why. I don't see why yet, so I'm just going to keep reading, and you'll hear in our next month's episode.
You'll have to let me know, and I might have to get it back.
Yeah, so that's what I'm reading right now. But what about you? What did you read in the last month?
I read a few. I read quite a few.
Her list here is so long, you guys. I'm looking at her notes. It's like so many. Yes.
No, it's because I added notes after. But I don't know if I mentioned this one on last month's pod. I got an Enchantment of Ravens by Margaret Rogerson, who is the author of Sorcery of Thorns. This was her first book ever. An Enchantment of Ravens. I actually got through like half of it and couldn't finish it because I'm the quitter. I don't care about quitting. I have too many other things to read. Yeah. But the writing was good. Like one of the things I loved about Sorcery of Thorns was the writing, and you know, it's still there. She's a great writer, but the story itself was not super compelling for me. Mm-hmm. The characters, they felt inaccessible in a way, like I couldn't penetrate that world. The synopsis is like, there's this girl, she's a really great artist, and then there's like fae, you know, fairy. Mm-hmm. And basically fairies, they don't possess any of these skills that like humans have, so they like hire humans to paint for them or like cook, like chefs and stuff,
right?
So basically she meets up like one of the princes and is asked to paint for him, and
of course,
you know,
it has to be a prince fae.
Yes. And it goes on from there, all the like magic and evil and turns.
It sounds good.
It, you know, it does, but I just couldn't super get into it. I might finish it. I don't know if I get through these. I have a time now, right? I have all this time. So maybe I'll get back to it. But I do highly recommend Sorcery of Thorns, which is her second book. Okay, so I also read Josh and Hazel's Guide to Not Dating because Sophia lent it to me.
And what did you
think? And I loved it. It was so cute. I love the Korean male lead, you know? Yeah. So I love that. It was really fun, really heartwarming. I love that they go on blind dates with other people, but together. And you see them basically like they like should be on their own date. You're like screaming at them, like, what the heck? But that was really cute. I also read Friend Zone by Abby Jimenez. Did you read that?
No, but that's on my to read list.
Okay. I had been on the hold list for like months and then finally got it recently. It was worth it. And I read it literally in one sitting. I did not get up. I maybe got up to pee.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
But it was like next. We were in Tahoe that weekend and like my family had fallen asleep early after like sledding and ice skating all day. So I was just awake by myself and I just spent the whole night reading. It's pretty amazing.
No, that's the best.
It was really good. Like it's kind of your typical rom-com, you know, a little cliche. There's like a hunky fireman who's the character. And then
I'm mad about a cliche fireman.
No, I'm not either. That's why I loved it. But there's like a thing that happens at the end. And I like bawled like a baby. I was like sobbing to myself in the dark, reading on my phone. But I also do love, so this is a standalone book, but she's writing her second one, it comes out in April, but it's the best friend in the first book now is having her own book. And I love that. Yeah. I love when series do that.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that also coming out in April. And then lastly, I read The Guinevere Deception by Kirsten White. Have you read anything by her before?
No, I've never even heard of her.
She wrote, what did she write? I'll have to look it up next time and tell you. But she's written a bunch of other YA things. Mm-hmm. But The Guinevere Deception is not a retelling, but it's set in Camelot in like King Arthur's time.
Right.
So, you know, King Arthur is a big character in the book. Basically in his kingdom, magic has been banished, but Merlin has sent Guinevere to protect King Arthur. So they kind of sneak her in as like under this disguise of her being Guinevere to marry King Arthur, but she's really there to like help protect him.
Yeah.
And kind of they have to work together to figure out what the threat is that's coming to their kingdom. Yeah, it was. That's a great synopsis, you know? Mm-hmm. Sounds really interesting. It was okay. Oh. I did love it. It's also a series, you know? So,
yeah.
But like in a series, the ending kind of fell flat for me. Like I don't really care to read the next books, which is rare for me. So yeah, it was like not a great ending or plot twist to it.
Well, then I
was
maybe let down. Yeah. I was getting excited when you were talking about it because I love that sort of like King Arthur's court, medieval Camelot. Yeah. I like that kind of stuff, but you know, I ain't got time to read books.
Put it at the end of your, the very end of your.
Yeah, I'll get to it like in another 10 years at the next pandemic. Oh, yeah,
The next pandemic. Knock on wood.
I know. Cool. Okay. So then should we move on to the one book that we both read together this month?
Let's do it.
Yeah. So we moved on to the first actual title of the Throne of Glass series, called The Throne of Glass. And a friend / listener pointed out that the author's name is pronounced Sarah J. Moss, not Mass. So
like we've been saying, sorry. We're so sorry.
And Sarah J. Moss. We love you. Moss. Yeah. Yeah, Throne of Glass. If you have been listening and reading along with us, then you'll already know what this book was about. But if you didn't, I'll read out the little synopsis slash recap that we have here. It's obviously about 18-year-old assassin Selena Sardothian. I don't know if that's how you pronounce her name, but Selena. And after serving out a year of hard labor in the salt mines of Endovir for her crimes, she is dragged out before the crown prince. And his name is Prince Dorian. And he offers her her freedom on one condition. She must act as his champion in a competition to find the new royal assassin. And in the competition, she's the only female. All of her opponents are men, like thieves and assassins and hardened criminals and warriors all across the empire. And each competitor is sponsored by a member of the King's Council. So she's being sponsored by the crown prince himself, but other her other opponents are being sponsored by like a duke or just different members of the court. And if she beats out all of the other opponents in a series of trials and tests and eliminations, then she'll win and be able to serve as the king's assassin for 4 years. And after her 4-year term, she'll be granted her freedom. So it's kind of like her only way out of the salt mines. She doesn't really have any other options. So she ends up taking him up on the deal and along the way finds herself actually like enjoying the company and friendship of her quote unquote captors, who include the crown prince Dorian and her like direct, I guess, supervisor, who's the gruff captain of the guard. How do you pronounce his name? I say Kale.
Me too.
Okay. Kale. We might be pronouncing it wrong. I don't know. I say Kale in my mind when I'm reading. That's his name. And she also finds another surprising friend in a neighboring country's princess named Nehemiah. That's how I'm pronouncing it. Nehemiah. All these names are like,
in my head, it's Nehemia.
Okay.
Which sounds more like feminine.
That's true. But I think it's just because it looks like the book Nehemiah.
Nehemiah, yeah.
I'm like, Nehemiah? Nehemia. That works as well. So throughout, as the competition is going on, the other contestants are slowly turning up dead, which is not supposed to happen. That's like against the rules. And so part of the story is sort of Selena trying to figure out who the killer is before she becomes a victim herself, all the while she's trying to win this competition. And you know, there's a little love triangle thrown in there, because what good would a book be without a little love triangle thrown in?
Yeah. Come on.
So,
okay.
First thoughts of this book after reading it. What did you think?
First thoughts. So, like I've said before, I've actually read the first book or two of this series, but it was really fun to come back in and instead of just like skimming or spark notes, like looking at this again, I did decide to reread it and it was really great. Obviously, we love Sarah and we love her writing.
Yeah.
What actually struck me, you know, now that we've read a lot of her more recent books, and actually one book I forgot to mention that I'm reading right now is her newest book, which literally just came out last week. Mm-hmm. It's The House of Earth and Blood, and I'll talk about it more maybe later after I finish it. But like just comparing her writing now versus then, I felt like this first book of hers, it feels very like the writing, or even Selena feels like young or like, you know, the way like when we hear her thoughts, it just sounds very youthful and it's just interesting to me. And I hope that will be cool, like maybe seeing how she grows, both, you know, Sarah as an author and then Selena as our protagonist, seeing how they'll grow over the over the books and the years. So that's something that struck me.
Totally. Because, you know, we started, they say if you're going to read this series, then you need to start with the novellas, which we started with the Assassin's Blade last month. And the Assassin's Blade was actually written after the original series was written, right? So when we read the Assassin's Blade, well, for me, when I read the Assassin's Blade, which is the book of novellas last month, I was immediately like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to dive in. I don't know if I can just stick to one book a month. Like I was so eager to jump in. And then I started reading Throne of Glass and I felt in the beginning a little bit disappointed. I felt like her writing wasn't as compelling as it had been in the novellas or even in the Court of Thorns and Roses series that we read and loved and raved about last year. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out why. And then I was talking to one of our friends, Bethany, who loves this Throne of Glass series. And she was sort of saying, yeah, it does start off kind of slow, but it gets really, really good. And I have to say that that was definitely the case for me. After I sort of, I'd say, got maybe like a third to halfway through the first book, it started to pick up for me. And I started to feel like that kind of magic in her writing that I had fallen in love with her other books. So I don't know. I was texting Jensine when I was reading this. Like, I don't know how you only read this one and then maybe one other one and then finished the whole series, because I would binge read the whole thing right now if it wasn't that way.
And also the books get longer and longer too as they go on. Yeah.
I love the chunky book.
Okay. Moving on, we're going to say spoiler alert. So if you have not read Throne of Glass and don't want it to be spoiled for you, turn it off and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Okay. So we told you that she's an assassin. She's there to become the king's champion. But while she's there living in the castle, Selena has these dreams, these visions, where she's kind of directed to, you know, explore the castle a little bit. And she finds a hidden tunnel in her room that leads her down to this tomb.
Yeah.
And she realizes it's the tomb of Elena, Queen Elena, who was the very first queen of Adarland, which is like the kingdom where she's serving now.
Yeah.
And the thing about Elena is she's half fae, or she was half fae. Mm-hmm. And like one thing that keeps popping up in the book is Selena always thinks, you know, magic has been banished. So there hasn't really been any trace of that in the kingdom for a really long time.
Yeah.
But as she is trying to figure out who's been killing all the competitors, she stumbles upon these things called weird marks. Is that how you say it in your head?
That's how I
read it.
Yeah.
Weird marks, which are, you know, like these lines and drawings everywhere. And she's like, what are these? And so she tries to find out what they are. Basically, these word marks can form word gates, which is someone can use them to like summon demons and power, you know, other worlds. Yeah, exactly. So in her final duel, she has to battle Kane, who has kind of been her arch nemesis throughout the whole book.
Yeah.
And basically, she's poisoned before the match. And, you know, Kane is the one actually who has been summoning demons to like steal the power of the other competitors who he's killed.
Yeah.
And so
when they've been using like the word marks and
And so that was kind of the huge mystery of the book. And in that final duel, she basically like gets beat up pretty bad by Kane since she's also poisoned. But basically Nehemiah saves her because she also has powers.
Yeah.
Or basically uses like those word marks, which are like, what does she say? It's something that's been handed down to her in like the generations of her family and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the knowledge of how to use it and read it, right? It's like, I mean, obviously, we're already spoiling the plot, but. And like this is the problem with having three kids. Like I read and then I forget. So
yeah, no, move
it's
on.
Not that I forgot what happened, but I can't remember. But doesn't throughout the book, they reference something on Selena's forehead, right? Like, like early on in the book, when Nehemiah first meets Selena, Sarah makes a point of writing that Nehemia is like looking at her forehead and like making a comment like, oh, I've never seen one that strong or like whatever. And Okuna, who comes to visit her in her dream, says things like, oh, like, child, you don't know like your power yet, or like you.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
There's a lot of alluding to that.
Yeah, but then it's interesting because like Dorian and Kale don't say anything about it. So it's like, can they not see it?
Yeah. So they, I don't think they see it or know about it.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see. But
we'll see. And of course, we have our kissing scenes. Mm-hmm. So. Who's your favorite character?
Okay. I'm shipping Dorian and Selena. No.
Team Kale. I am Team Kale.
No. Okay. Because it's very obvious that that's how it's meant to be written. Like, it's meant to be them together. And then Kale is just going to be like the third leg of the triangle.
No, Dorian is like the crown prince, so of course he's going to get whatever he wants. So you're rooting for the underdog, for the, like, trusted, loyal captain of the guard.
I'm super curious to see how this plays out because I'm one of those readers that as I'm reading, I'm super suspicious of anything. So, like, if an author starts to introduce something like what I mentioned with Selena's, like, forehead, I'm always, like, I'm cataloging that information and sort of, like, why is that being brought up right now? Is that foreshadowing? You know, you know what I mean? That's why it's kind of hard to surprise me with plot twists because I'm always like suspicious of everything. And my whole thing is just, okay, like she has the author, Sarah, she has alluded to Kale throughout the book, kind of like having some sort of affection for Selena and like wanting to protect her and feeling protective over her. But I am reading that relationship as like a brother-sister thing. Like he loves her, but it's like a protective love. And she hasn't put anything in there that's like an inkling of Selena feeling romantic towards Kale or even Kale feeling romantic towards Selena. I'm reading it as
protective. I don't know, dude. I read it differently. Well, okay, obviously I feel like the forefront attention is on Prince Dorian. Like they have the kissing scenes and like they're doing all their like late night shenanigans. But I feel like the subtle little shifts in the relationship, the warming up of like Selena to Kale, I get that it seems like almost like he is her protector at first. But I feel like especially towards the end, like when it looks like she might die in the battle, you know, and he's like, get up. And then like, you know, when he goes to her room and like Dorian's there and just like, all these little things and how he gives her the ring, you know.
Okay. Yes. Yes. I'm very curious. Also, you've already read like
the first two. I'm not going to say anything.
I don't know, but just from like someone who is truly like purely new to this, my take is that she's setting it up so it's like Dorian and Selena and like they're doing like their little late night and kissing and there's like feelings and all throughout the book like she's like it she's giving us insight into Selena's thoughts and Selena is like thinking like, why do I feel this way about him? Why does he make me nervous? Why does he so yes, like she's clearly
setting
it up. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but she's then, setting it up.
At the end, and like I agree with you where it's like Kale is like there's like all these like hidden moments that Selena doesn't see where he like comes and wants to do something or say something but he's just like a moment too late or something, right? And it's only us the reader that sees that. I have a feeling or I'm thinking that it like what is there like 8 or 9 books in the series, like I'm thinking like the first couple of books it's gonna be because at the end of the book of this book Selena tells Dorian like I don't think we should you know be anything because you're the crown prince and I'm gonna be like your father's assassin and like freedom is what is most important to me, like I will not risk that for anything. So she kind of spurns him, right? But like we already know that there's something there between them and she's saying no. So I think in the next couple books she's going to turn to Kale who's like her friend and her protector and there might be like a love that grows there or something kind of like a love. Mm-hmm. But like the real love story is like at the end of the series is going to be like after she's like done with her assassinship or whatever her like time and like she's free and then like Dorian and her are going to be like This is my prediction, but
yeah, I love
I
this.
Could be wrong.
Keep
I don't
going.
Know.
Keep going. It makes me excited. Oh, but one thing I do know, we are totally in for like lots of surprises. It's going to be a ride.
Okay.
It's going to be a wild ride.
I'm excited, but also kind of ready. Like, I don't want to wait, like, because we're,
just
you
go.
Know.
Keep going.
No.
Well, they are going to get longer, so.
Yeah, I'm going to keep my reactions authentic every month. So, you know, if you want to read along with me, I will wait for you and just read one book a month and we can react together.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well,
that was fun.
That was fun. And
I loved reading Throne of Glass with you again.
I know. I can't wait. I'm a little bit worried because I put holds on the other books at the library. Our library is still open, it is, but I've read that some nearby counties have shut down their libraries, actually, because it's like that same, the same like social distancing, but it's like what you were saying about disinfecting books. Like if people are touching books and it's getting passed around, like the virus is still living on there. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I should go today. Like, maybe I should go right now and just see if there's anything.
Okay, we're going to sign off and you're going to go back. Yeah, I mean, you're going to go to the library.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening, you guys. Again, this is our first time recording remotely and, like, not together. So it was kind of an interesting dynamic. I mean, we're still looking at each other and recording, but we're not together. So hopefully it was still fun to listen to for you guys. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Pen and Page Gals on Instagram. If you want to keep up with us, get more behind the scenes of what we're up to between each episode. Also, we are on iTunes and on Spotify. So that should be exciting for those of you who have been asking us to put our podcast on Spotify. We have. So it's available there for you to listen to. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Remember, there's no reason to panic. We don't need to hoard toilet paper, guys. Like, there's no toilet paper shortage. Yeah. Or books. Yeah. We're all good. It's just be smart. Wash your hands 20 seconds. Cough into your elbows. If you don't feel well, stay at home. You know, common sense. You don't need to freak out. Read a book. Keep calm and read on.
Keep calm and read on.
All right,
guys. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.